our tradition and strengthen us to be bearers of light, bringing goodness, unity, and hope into our community and beyond. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Gordon. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll call, please?
Councilmember Bausch?
Here.
Councilmember Beal?
Here.
Councilmember Gregory?
Here.
Councilmember Strong?
Present.
Mayor Hammond?
Here. And also staff app introductions, starting on my right.
Melissa Martin, City Clerk, joined by Mary Sponholz, Deputy City Clerk.
Warren Frace, Community Development Director.
Chris Hewitt, City Manager.
Elizabeth Hall, City Attorney.
Very good. We'll next have a report out from closed session. Legal counsel, Elizabeth Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There were four items listed on the closed session agenda. The first is public employee labor negotiation. The council did not go into closed session on that item. The other three items, the first was conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.91, and that is John Borst versus the city. The second one was conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation pursuant to the same section, again, John Borst versus the city. Fetus is throwing things. John Borst versus the city. There was no reportable action taken on those two items. The final item was conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to Section 54956.9D4. It was one case, and there was no reportable action there either.
Very good. Thank you, Elizabeth. Tonight we have presentations. The first one is the Capital Projects Report. Didis Esperanza is going to be our Capital Projects Engineer. Then we have David Licaro, Public Works Operations Manager, and then Frida Berman, Public Works Director. Didis, you're first.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council, and the public. Actually, I'm the only one that's going to be presenting today. And if you recall, I made a presentation just a few weeks ago. And then in the meantime, there's been a lot of rains, and so there has not been a remarkable change to the construction progress of projects. There was just one, so then I thought I would take advantage of that time and update you on some big project that's coming up in the future that we received some good news. So anyway, that's how we're going to do it today. This didn't work for me last time, and it's still not working for me. All right, so the one project that did manage to squeeze in some progress between the rains is the stage one construction at the Marv's Pizza parking lot rehab. This is behind Grapes and Grain. We're improving the alley and improving a concrete V gutter to take care of the drainage. And so between the rains, they were able to get in there, form up the V gutter, and actually just last week they went ahead and finished the concrete, and then perhaps later this week and into next week they'll be able to pave it. So that's a project that we did get some progress even with the rains. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Okay, so anyway, the Sherwood Park Pickle Court Complex, the last time I spoke to you, we delivered the restroom, not much progress there. Downtown parking lot improvements, PG&E is on site yesterday for the one at 12th and Railroad. And then on Crestline and Fairview, it's been raining, so they haven't been able to proceed. But then this week, because there's no rain, they were able to do some really major progress on paving that neighborhood. But of course, It's Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and I didn't have the proper tools to get it all updated because this is prepared ahead of time. So future projects, we'll breeze through it a little bit. Creston Road, the west side slurry seal. Let's go to the drawing on that one. So we're waiting for the weather to become drier and more higher temperature. And just so you know, these are the streets, they're all on the west side, that we're using that fiberized slurry seal. That's been really excellent maintenance treatment. 12th Street, Maryhill to Bailey. Actually, it's Maryhill to Olive. 10th Street, Vine to Olive. Olive, 12th to Pacific. Pacific, Olive to Maryhill. And then 13th, Spring to Vine. So that's ready to go. Contracts are in place. Just waiting for the weather to be warmer. Creston Road Phase 2, as you know, is starting, is getting ready to go out to bid. And I haven't been able to tell you progress, but I thought I would let you know, just a reminder that most of this, there's quite a bit of grants that's going on towards this project. We're talking about $3.5 million, $3 million from the state of California, another $400,000 from the California Transportation Commission, and another $135,000 from our Highway Safety Improvement Grant. So even though, so the total project will use about $3.5 million. And those grants are all in place and ready to be spent. And then the South Vine Bridge, that's the bridge that the city has committed to building as part of the settlement agreement of the property owners at that north end of town, the northwest corner of Highway 46 and Vine Street. We opened the request for qualifications for people to submit. And this Friday, staff will be evaluating the two that we received, and we'll be making a recommendation to the city council. We're on a tight timeline, so we are hoping that we make the staff report, get it through all the review process, and get it before you for the December 16th meeting for a recommendation.
What is the time frame for that project? Next year?
We can go into the stream bed. The earliest we can get there because of a permit is May 2026. So that's what we're shooting for.
Okay.
Next we have, okay, so this is a bit of a good news. The 13th Street Bridge and the Niblick Bridge deck has been on the list for the Highway Bridge Program to give us the money. We have the money to perform PSNE. And they told us, go ahead and do PSNE, but for construction, we don't know when we'll give you the construction, but just keep going. Well, 2 weeks ago, we received notice from them that they're ready to give us $2.4 million towards the project. So now we have to hurry up and finish the PSNE so that we can advertise for bids. So that's a bit of a good news for us. The other good news that we receive is the 24th Street Bridge. Widenings. These are just concept photos. We will be widening the bridge, putting bikeways on both sides, and then pedestrian sidewalk on both sides, and some ornamental fencing and some ornamental lights. We had a grant to finish environmental clearance. We did that. We finished. We had a grant to do the design, which is now 90% complete, and we have the grant to, we had the approval grant to start and finish the right-of-way acquisition. So, but they told us don't count on construction for a while because of funding availability. And then lo and behold, 2 weeks ago, we received notice that, yes, we're ready to give you the grant. So the grant is $16 million for construction. And then there's a match, of course, that the city will have to pony up. But now we have to hurry up and get the PSNE and the right-of-way done so that we can tap into that construction funding.
When do you think that project may fly?
Probably, well, maybe late next year. We can advertise for bids.
Okay, good.
And
after the fair, obviously.
Yes, after the fair. And I think that's it for today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ditas. Questions of Ditas?
Thank you, Ditas.
Very good. All right. Dale, you have a question for this item?
Dale Gustin, on the Vine Street Bridge, I'd like to know how much the developer is paying and how much we're paying. And then on the 24th Street Bridge, is the railroad going to contribute towards that?
Okay.
Let me answer the 24th Street Bridge first.
Mm-hmm.
No, the railroad will not contribute. We're just happy they're going to give us a permit to allow us to build over there right away. So there's no contribution for that one.
Right. And then the Vine Street, I think we're on the hook for that one. Although, Chris.
I can jump in and try to clarify, and then may actually have Warren or Ryan jump in too. But so through a series of agreements with the developer, the city is paying, I believe, 100% of the bridge itself and the associated cost with the bridge. And then there's the road component, the realigned road of Vine Street, and I believe that's a 52%, 48% split with the developer, with the city being the 52%. So the bridge alone, Mr. Cornell, the bridge and the road around 25-ish, $20 million is probably what the city's going to be in for. And as a reminder, we did initiate a process earlier this year. We will have to issue revenue bonds to construct that bridge. So you'll be seeing related items associated with that bonding package come before you in the not too distant future as well.
And I'd like to also add, in return for putting the bridge on private property, we did receive the deed to the right-of-way to build the bridge, and the right-of-way for the South Vine realignment, quote-unquote, from the developer for free.
Yeah.
So we did get something out of it.
And then I'll add real quick, too, just for clarification, too. This is part of, this was also planned as part of circulation improvements. So while there is a developer involved, this has also been a long-term planning process to identify this circulation improvement to realign Vine Street up to Theater Drive for improvement there. So this has what I'll call independent utility.
That's why the light was put up there a ways from 101 quite a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So this will help that interchange a little bit. And then I know SLOCOG and Caltrans are working on some additional improvements at the interchange, which are, I think, a little bit further in the long term, but they are looking at some additional improvements for that interchange to improve traffic flow beyond what we're doing as a city.
Councilmember Beal?
And just for people's understanding, this agreement goes back a little while, right?
Oh, yeah. 2019, 2020, maybe even before that. I have to look to Warren for that one.
There was a lawsuit that resulted in a settlement agreement that was executed in 2016. They kind of set the framework for this partnership between the city and county. And then when the project was annexed in 2020, there was a development agreement that was approved as part of the project that further, I guess, reinforced the deals of the settlement agreement.
Pro Tem Gregory.
And then more than that, in 2009, Target Shopping Center submitted their development to build the shopping center there. There was an agreement between Caltrans and the city that we promised to do improvements at that interchange. They would give us a permit to build the shopping center. That was in whenever they built. And then in 2009, we prepared a project study report that studied what kind of improvements would go on that, and that came up with the South Vine Bridge and the South Vine Road realignment. So it's really old. I probably started the project when I first came to the city.
I think, isn't Caltrans thinking of two roundabouts down there in the future on either side of that 46 West?
On either side, yeah.
Yeah, at the ramp, the termini.
Right.
So, Ditas, one more question, sorry. When we receive a grant on the Creston Road roundabout, is that going to offset our out-of-pocket expenses for the city? Or was that planned on?
The project itself is about $15-16 million, so we need
Everything.
We need everything, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ms. George, question?
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street, about the 24th Street Bridge. Is it going to be the same height when you guys are designing it? I want to know if I need to buy an electric bike this time for the fair, or a bicycle, because that's a really steep hill. What is, are you guys going to have an open house before the construction starts? I had heard long ago that there was supposed to be some apartments that are built next to the railway. And then once we start constructing, can we get local assistance to get more tax money for beautifications along the bridge?
Yeah, Didis, why don't you kind of give us an overview of the design then?
Okay, I forgot the first question, I'm sorry.
The first, how high tall?
Oh, okay, so we have to meet existing grade at Riverside and at Park Street, so we can't change the vertical. Plus, we're required by the Union Pacific that we have to stay within the safe height, so we can't change the vertical profile. So it stay the way it is. And then the second question was apartments. I'm not sure about any proposed apartments that were ever proposed along the railroad.
Yeah. Beautification.
Well, as far as open house, you mean like a community outreach before construction? Oh, yeah, we have a big to-do and say, hey, we're getting ready to build this project. Here's the timeline. I think that's something that the city pretty much typically does.
Okay.
And then as far as beautification, we have the ornamental fencing and ornamental lights along the bridge, and that's about all we're installing, and as a matter of fact, the city has to pay for those because the grant will not pay for any beautification.
The city is cooperating with the Housing Authority on acquiring some excess property that's next to the bridge that will then be part of an affordable project by the Housing Authority.
Okay. Anyone else online that might want to have a question on this item?
No, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Didis. Move on to general public comments. This is the time that the public may address the council on items within the council's purview, but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. All persons desiring to speak on the agenda item are asked to fill out a speaker information card, hand it to our city clerk. You'll have 3 minutes. Those persons wishing to speak on any items scheduled on tonight's agenda will give the have the opportunity to speak during that time the item is being considered. So, come on up. Who's first? Welcome.
Good evening, Suzanne Anchin, Past Rebels Main Street. Mm-hmm. 836 Norma's Alley. Mayor, City Council, Saturday, we celebrate the 64th annual Christmas Light Parade. And this is my 30th year chairing it. So every year I'm amazed at how beautiful it turns out, because truly it is like putting socks on a rooster, okay? Please invite all your friends and family to the parade if they're not already in the parade. It starts at 6 p.m. sharp Saturday and marks the arrival of Santa in downtown Paso Robles. The Bearcat Marching Band will be there, along with all of our great community youth groups, local businesses, and the dignitaries of the city. Please come down and show them your support, because a lot of people put a lot of effort into their parade floats, okay? Thank you.
So I've got our little advertisement here for our council to be there. You want us to roll, ready to roll at 6 o'clock, right?
6 o'clock.
That's the plan, okay.
6 o'clock, the police start the parade. Right on the button, it goes down the road. You ready or not?
Well, thank you for your service. 30 years worth. Thank you very much.
With or without socks.
Do they accept any volunteers?
Dale, welcome.
Dale Gustin. I'm on the board, and I got to tell you that Suzanne does all of the planning for this thing. She's a terrific asset to our board, our group of people on Main Street. She's our computer expert and everything. Anyway, I attended the water board meeting, and I was a little bit surprised. Because now I understand that even though the majority of the public is against establishing that board and continuing it, that our city is going to take money out of our water fund to help support that board. I think that that's disgusting.
Anyone else?
Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I'm actually like a month behind on the agendas, but I wanted to come back today and say that when Mark was presenting for the logo and the brand, I did a little bit of research after, and $30,000 is kind of the going rate for a really solid brand and logo. So I just wanted to come here tonight and put back on the record that I retract, you know, saying AI and I think those things do work, but, you know, I'm a big believer in doing things right the first time. So we're going to pay $180,000 for lights. $680,000, I consider it Ty's second payout, paying off that parking program. We're just hand over fist throwing money out. Another $48,000 for the water. I understand that comes from the water meter. Every time I turn around, you guys say you can't afford something, and then you write off, what is that, half a mil? I'm terrible at math. So my point being, somewhere along the line is that, you know, I know how to live the line between being a staff and understanding your guys' role, but I think it's really important in the end that what the council is doing is supporting the staff and giving them the tools they need. So, you know, they can't do this job. You just can't tell them what you need. You need to also show them how to get there. Because sometimes the attorney should be primarily helping them through the laws. When I was having the issues with the cockroaches at the park, that is actually a city attorney issue. Litigation against the park is happening on my behalf after 6 years. And we should be able to, you know, trust that if we need that help, even as citizens, and we come to the staff for that help, that we know that we're gonna get the right answer. So anyways, the point being tonight is that I just wanted to say that I wanted to retract my statement about that. I think it's important if we're going to have an airport that grows with the spaceport that he absolutely gets that money for that. But I have so much to say about the homeless, it's unbelievable. I was very kind of offended by the term stakeholders. I don't think we should be making money off our homeless. I appreciate the fact that there are other people that are willing to help us, and yeah, I think that the plan that she has is great, but we're not a large city. We don't need a program. We need help for our 300 that live down there, especially before the rain comes. My understanding about the money for the 10 beds was that we received a grant. We closed 10 beds. We have 10 beds now back at Echo. But I distinctly remember every year I donate blankets to every warming shelter here. When the county provides a warming shelter, that's like 30 or 40 beds. So what do we have now? Just 10? So I think we've done a disservice in that area.
Thank you. Pro Tem Gregory.
Ms. George, for clarification, they got a grant at Echo for 10 beds for warming shelter. They did not close 10 beds. They used their office space and meeting room to provide those beds. So that's, they're not losing 10 beds, just for the clarity. So we have an additional
We'll 10. Agree to disagree, but I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
Sharon, welcome.
Sharon Roden. Tonight I'm speaking as a private citizen. I missed the last meeting, so I have a couple of questions and comments. The crosswalk that was approved, I've driven that road for 40 years, 5 and 6 days a week. The 99% of the use of that crosswalk is for the fairgrounds and for fair events. Did anyone reach out to the fairgrounds to find out if it's their responsibility to upgrade that crosswalk or to partner with it? The idea that the unhoused are gonna walk uphill both directions to crosswalk is pie in the sky, never gonna happen. It's just not going to. We would have been better off spending the money, as Councilmember Beal suggested, on the north end of Spring Street. That is quite regularly ignored. in signals and in crosswalks, safe crosswalks. The budget item that Ryan went through was approved 4-1. Mr. Bausch, you voted no on this item. I don't recall there being any question or debate, so I'd just like clarification of why you voted no against it. That's all. The lot at Pioneer Museum. A lot of discussion and upset to whether to designate this lot a surplus to the needs of the city and how that it may affect the fair's possible desire to purchase that property. Again, Mr. Bausch, you're a professional realtor. I'm sure you can attest to the necessity of a sale where there's it runs quickly, if possible, and that there's competition, you get a higher price. So hopefully you can manifest that with the competition. And if I recall correctly, you argued by waiting, the state may be able to work out a deal for themselves as well as Pioneer Museum. I worry about dealing with the state because we just closed a deal with them, I think last year, that took 5 or 6 years to complete. And as we know, the state's in a deficit right now. So I worry about them even being able to perform. And they can still compete for this lot. But how did you arrive at the theory that the state or the fairgrounds would help out Pioneer Museum? Have you had meetings, discussions, contact with those with the fair or the state or the Pioneer Museum related to this potential sale? I'll wrap up. Do you also have knowledge of any contract agreement between the parties related to this property? If no to the above, what was the basis for your desire to delay the sale for this property? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else out there in public? Do we have anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay. You don't need to answer if you don't want to, but that's fine. Okay, so we're good at this point with general public comments. We'll move on then to agenda items to be deferred. Mr. Huat, do we have any of those?
Mayor, yes, we have one item for deferral this evening under your discussion section, item Q2, the annual comprehensive financial report will be deferred until a future meeting date. We're still working with the auditors on wrapping that up, so need to defer that for probably another meeting or two.
Okay, very good. We'll move on to then the consent calendar. These are items on consent that are considered routine, not requiring separate discussion. However, if discussion is warranted by any member of the council or the public, that item may be removed from the council calendar and considered separately. Council members or members of the public can ask a particular question before we take the vote. And then I'll go ahead and start with our council. Do you have anything that you want to ask a question on first or pull completely? I didn't hear you, Chris. Yeah, we're just asking right now questions of that you're going to have. I'm going to have Chris go ahead and go over all those in a minute, but anything question-wise? Okay, seeing none, any of the public? On consent, Dale?
Made it.
Norma, welcome.
Fix the microphone.
Mayor John Hammond, Mayor Pro Tem Steve Gregory, Council Members Chris Beadle, Chris Bausch, and Fred Strong. Hi. I am here to say that when Mrs. Claus lit that park, all you heard was, wow! And it was a wow. And you agree? You agree?
It was. It was, yeah.
I want to first thank Frieda Bergman and her staff for such wonderful vision and then making it happen for our downtown city park. Last year, I was struck by the number of families and tourists alike that were in the downtown park, way into the evening hours. And you could see that they had a sense of community and safety, enjoying the lighting of the park. And the restaurants were packed, and people were shopping. I mean, we had people all over the state of California there. You couldn't have invested in anything better. Our merchants feel that they are now framed and right well beyond dusk, which we had a lot of families and tourists to shop and dine downtown and enhance the economic vitality of our downtown. People were not afraid to walk through the park. They felt safe. And we bought, Main Street bought 3,200 candles, which was magnificent when you saw that field of lights. It was like a dream, magic, totally magic. You should be very proud of your town because everybody's coming from everywhere to see what's going on. And those, Frieda, you've got a tremendous vision. And I know that you orchestrated all that way that they put those lights up. It was, weren't they great? Yes. And they were worth every cent of it. Because we made money also. Because people were shopping. And I encourage you to please continue this year, because we all had a good time, and we felt that. Okay, you ringing the bell at me?
Yeah, I'm afraid they pulled a hook on you, Norma.
Anyway, I love you.
So basically, you're in support of item 8. That's what you
said. What?
Very good. Thank you for coming, Norma.
Absolutely.
And thank you for Main Street.
Thank you all for being there. You have some pretty good voices.
Okay.
I'm Dale Gustin. That's once again, that's a hard act to follow. But I'm also was going to speak on that item and say that I was there helping pass out the candles and the songbooks, and it was a beautiful sight, and I'm proud to be a part of Main Street to see that, and thank you once again.
Yeah, I know we ran out of candles early, so there must have been twice that many that wanted them. So, Stacy, welcome.
Stacy Jacob, President and CEO of Travel Paso. I want to echo the sentiments of the lighting in the park and in support of item 8 tonight. The holidays in Paso Robles have taken on an entirely new meaning with the lighting enhancements in the downtown park. The always-on ambiance of the park lights that they create during the season demonstrate the spirit of the community and the classic community holiday. And those of us that were there on Friday night saw this firsthand. I've been to many of these tree lightings, and I have to say, who's counting, but that had to have been a record, Norma, of the number of people in the park and the number of candles that you purchased for that night. What an amazing, tremendous showcase. Not only is this great for our residents, but the tourists that are coming in, the money that's being spent, the investment that you're putting into the downtown park comes back in many, many ways. For those of us in Travel Paso, we are using the holidays as a time now to come to this area. Paso Robles now owns Christmas because of this amazing showcase that we have in the downtown park. And not only do we say this, but now accolades are happening. Press is happening as a result of this continuous commitment. So we encourage you tonight that not only the lights an investment for residents, but they're an investment for the tourists in a community that we can all live, work, and play. The city of Paso, as we all know, thanks to that great economic impact study, tourism now accounts for 37% of your general fund. This is just one of those activities that are continuing to drive the TOT numbers, which we have consistently seen the month of December, which can be a very quiet month here. We've seen that turnaround over the last couple of years. We got to believe that the lighting in the park is one of those enhancements. So on behalf of Travel Paso, we strongly encourage members of council to enthusiastically renew the investment of the holiday lighting in the downtown park. Thank you.
Thank you for your leadership there in Travel Paso too, Stacy. Also, I'd like to give a shout out too about that topic. Norma wanted me to mention the other day when I was up on the gazebo that the candles and the little globe that goes along when it was donated by the Adelaide Inn in honor of Matt Messia.
Wow.
He passed away, so that was very well done. Thank you, guys.
I'm Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. That was the first time I went. I've had my social life in the Bay Area for the last 6 years. It was very cool. And I just have to throw in, it was even better, there was no paid parking. It was easy to find parking. But I just have one question about the lights. I know that there are monies that are raised for it. It's $184,000. I don't know if it's more than last year. But is the money that is raised taken from that? If we don't raise it in these following years, is the city going to be able to fund it with or without any raised monies? That's my only concern.
Okay. I know there's a fund that we can all donate to support this, but Chris, do you have a question?
Mayor, I'll probably defer to Frieda on the amount we've raised, but the answer to the question is the city is, you know, should this be approved, we will program it into future year budgets. We, at this point, have no reason to believe that we couldn't include it in future year budgets. This year, we did launch, I think, a more direct campaign to raise funds to help offset the cost, similar to what we did for the 4th of July event. This was the first year we've been this aggressive in trying to solicit sponsorships for this work, but I'll turn it over to Ms. Berman to give you an update on where we're at with that.
Currently, as Chris mentioned, we have launched a more aggressive sponsorship program, and we currently have nearly $10,000 that's been contributed, mostly by businesses in the communities, which is we are very thankful for. So it's been successful for a first year effort.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, any other questions on consent from the public or anyone online?
No one online.
Okay, so I'll let our city manager, Chris Huat, describe what we're going to be voting on here. Chris?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. We have 14 items on the consent calendar this evening. The first is the approval of your council meeting minutes from November 18th, 2025. The second item is the approval of city council special meeting minutes from your visioning session on November 21st. Item number three is the receipt of advisory body minutes for several advisory bodies. The first is a supplemental sales tax oversight committee that met on August 20th. The next two are for the youth commission that met on September 3rd and on October 1st. The next is the parks and rec advisory committee that met on October 20th. And then finally, the senior citizens advisory committee meeting that also met on October 20th. Item number four is the receipt of the warrant register. These are payments made by the city since we last met. The city has issued a total of $1.5 million in payments. All cover those payments that are more than $100,000. There were four of them. The first was a payment to Arrive Paso LLC. This is a reimbursement for work that the developer did essentially on behalf of the city as they were doing their project. And so this reimbursement is in the amount of $292,161.46. The next is a payment to Pacific Gas and Electric for the September utilities for the water utility fund in the amount of $143,740.71. The third item is a pass-through payment. This is a pass-through of the Tourism Improvement District for Visit SloCal. for the month of September 2025 in the amount of $117,653.77. And then the last item, again, is a pass-through to Travel Paso for the September 2025 Tourism Improvement District in the amount of $156,036.37. Continuing on, item number five is the receipt of the treasurer's report for August of this year, and then item number six is the receipt of the treasurer's report for September of this year. Item number seven is review and update of the committee bylaws. This is for the Supplemental Sales Tax Oversight Committee, so this is essentially some cleanup work that we would like to get done with those bylaws and updates that are more consistent with current operations of that advisory body. Item number eight is what some of the public speakers were just talking about. It's the approval of an extension to the agreement with Los Angeles Christmas light installers for the City Park holiday lighting display. This would be a two-year extension. Item number nine is the approval of a resolution that would award a contract for an operational and organizational assessment of the Public Works Department. This is part of our ongoing continuous improvement initiative that we're working on. Item number 10 is the approval of a resolution that would award a construction contract for the repair and recoding of Golden Hill Tank 1 and also construction management inspection services. Item number 11 is the approval of an agreement with Stantec to prepare plan specifications and estimates for the Niblick Road Corridor project. This is the bike and pedestrian pathway that is grant funded through the state, or predominantly grant funded through the state, and this would prepare those design documents in preparation for bidding and eventually construction. Item number 12 is the approval of a resolution that would approve an agreement with Pavement Engineering, Inc. to prepare, again, plans, specifications, and estimates. This is for road repair in the Dahlins Combine neighborhood. And then item number 13 is the approval of an amendment to the agreement with Rick Engineering, and this is related to the storm drain master plan update. I believe this is to be able to capture some work that we need to get done near the airport, and then that's consistent with future development and needs in that area. And then item number 14 is the approval of an amendment number 8 with WSP and for a landfill monitoring and reporting services. That concludes the consent calendar, Mayor. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chris. I do have one just real quick question, maybe you or Ditas, on 10 about the contract for recoding Golden Hill Tank number 1. Is this the first time it's been done since its initial fabrication? Yeah, Christopher? Yeah. And how often does it have to be done, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
That tank's been recoded multiple times. We recoded it after the San Simeon earthquake. There was major work that
That's
was
right.
done. That was the last time we did a full interior-exterior recoding on it. So it's been quite some time. We dive those tanks about every 3 to 5 years to assess the overall condition of the coating and the steel structure. We just finished the second tank. We got that all wrapped up. And this one is now due. Time has come. And it's important to stay on top of it. Again, it's about every 10 years. You want to avoid excessive metal loss and heavy rework and just focus on maintaining the coatings to preserve the structure for the long term.
I think
that tank was built in the 70s, and it's still in pretty good shape.
I think that's a 4 million gallon tank.
4 million gallon tank.
Yeah, right. Huge. All right. Thank you. Any other questions from council and or direction?
So, Mayor,
Tim Gregory.
I'd like to move that we approve items 1 through 14, with the exception of adding exclamation point to number 8. I agree.
Second.
Okay, motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Discussion? Call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, thank you. We're on to discussion items. First one is the LAFCO denial, Pastor Robles' sphere of influence. And Darcy is going to have that for us.
Yeah, Darcy's ill, so I'll be making the presentation tonight for her.
Very good. Thank you, Warren.
Okay, so tonight, this is an update on the sphere of influence. This is a project being conducted by LAFCO, the Local Area Formation Commission, regarding the city's sphere of influence. So there's two things to know. This is a process that happens every 10 years. So LAFCO's responsible for approving spheres of influences. Those are the future growth areas of a city. It needs to be updated every 10 years. So this is our 10-year update. As part of this sphere of influence update, LAFCO also conducts what's called a municipal service review, or an MSR. And basically that evaluates the capacity of the city to serve the area in the sphere of influence. So by serving, we're talking about roads, utilities, police, fire, parks, the full gamut of public services. So that's one of the things that needs to be demonstrated to LAFCO, is that you have the ability, or will have the ability in the future, to provide services if these become part of the city area. Okay, so we've been working with LAFCO on this for about the last 2 years. We've had a really good collaborative process with LAFCO staff. We have brought a previous version of this to the council about a year ago for you to review. The current version, it's a public review draft. It's out for public comment. That's a 30-day public comment. So basically, what the city council doing is commenting on the public review draft, just like any other member of the public can comment. So as I mentioned, we've looked at this before. In 2024, we came up with a matrix to rank 11 different study areas. We had all the departments look at these different study areas, potential future annexation areas, and look at the appropriateness of bringing them into the city based on that list of issues like fire hazard, emergency access, water, sewer service, roads, et cetera. So basically, we made recommendations to the council about which ones of these areas should be included in the sphere and which ones we might want to exclude based on this matrix exercise. So this was the direction that the council adopted in 2024. So you'll see that we looked at 11 areas. The areas in gray were to be included, and then the areas that are in white were currently in our sphere of influence, but the recommendation was we should remove those. Primarily, those are the areas that are in the west side up in the high hills, and there's a real difficulty providing water and sewer and emergency access to those areas. Plus, they're very constrained by topography, existing subdivisions, so there's really very little benefit for the city to bring them in. They'd have high costs to the city if we brought them in. So the recommendation from the council was to remove those. There was also a recommendation to remove this part of Vina Robles that's already been developed. And then there was kind of a small little piece down off of South River Road that's also rural residential, already developed, that was recommended to be removed. The council did ask to consider adding areas. So one area is over here off of Golden Hill Road. It's kind of that Circle B neighborhood. It's potentially where Wisteria Road could be connected over to Cuesta College as part of the parallel route. And then we also looked at Area 10. That would be along Airport Road, Buena Vista, potential expansion to the airport industrial area. And then we had Areas 4 that's already in the sphere, recommendation to keep that in the sphere. Area 1, this is the Mill Road annexation that we're currently working on. The recommendation was leave that in the sphere. And then we also have property around the landfill, which is out further on 46 East, recommendation to keep that in. So that was the recommendations we made to LAFCO. They analyzed all those. They've ended up agreeing with all the recommendations except for number 10, the area out by the airport. They concluded that was premature for the city to consider annexation, basically based on services, our inability to provide access out there until we've solved the issue with 46 East and Airport Road. So that's something we can come back in the future and discuss once we have that issue addressed. LAFCO is also concerned about some private water districts and associations that are in the county surrounding the city. They did inquire about the city potentially looking to annex these areas. That would be the Rancho Paso Mobile Home and then the Alomar Water Association. We reviewed that with the Utilities Division. Was determined that it's not feasible for the city to annex or serve those areas, and that really the county of San Luis Obispo and the Templeton area should be responsible for those existing conditions there. So staff is recommending supporting the draft report that LAFCO's put together. So basically what's shown on the map, these would be the areas to be included in the sphere. So this is the area down on 46 West, basically south on Ramada. That's currently in the sphere. That would remain the same. Like I said, Mill Road remains the same. The area out at the landfill out of 46 East stays the same. The only change really would be to add this little piece here by the Circle B neighborhood to facilitate Wisteria's connection to the Cuesta parcel as part of the parallel route in the future. So we are looking for the council to take an action on the resolution that's attached, basically supporting the proposed sphere of influence boundaries that LAFCO's currently got out for public review. And that'll conclude my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Warren. Questions of Warren first on my side. Chris Bouch.
Thank you, Warren. Areas like 2 and 3 that are recommended to be removed, are those, they're developed, so are they already considered within the city boundaries at this point?
No, they're in the county. They've developed in the county as rural residential. There's no real benefit to the city annexing them because they're already developed.
So they will never come into the city?
Well, that's the direction right now, is to notify LAFCO that we would never pursue those as annexations.
Okay. We would not pursue those. City would not pursue.
Yeah. An annexation is a city process.
Okay. Thank you.
Warren, I had a question with regard to properties over on that west side and the new state marshal, fire marshal's your demand on the wildland interface. Does this help us any, or does it change or anything at all?
So that area is a very high fire hazard risk, which is one of the areas we looked at. If we were to annex them in, we would inherit dealing with that increased fire hazard. The area we already have is enough of a liability and hazard,
right,
that increasing it is not of a benefit to the community.
Yeah, I would suspect. Very good. Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, Warren, just a question on Area 10. So is that west of the Majestic property?
Yeah. So the Majestic property would be right here. Uh-huh. So it kind of is west and then north of that area.
So that includes the Oxborough property on the north side?
The Oxborough property is already in the city, so it's right there. So
okay,
it kind of surrounds that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
This would take it up to almost Adobe Road up there, or where? How far?
Tower. No.
Adobe? Is that doesn't go as high as Adobe there?
It's not quite that high.
Yeah, I couldn't see on this map either because it's so small. I couldn't tell where things were. But
so it was a conceptual study area, but we agreed with LAFCO that it's premature for the city to include in the sphere at this point.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, no other questions from council. I'll open up the public. Anybody wishing to have an item question on this, please come forward. Dale.
Dale Gustin, I've been following these sphere of influence and the